listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Gold Podcast. I'm really excited for today's interview. With me is Gary Tanasian. He is the editor-publisher of Notes from the Rabbit Hole. And if you guys don't know Gary, I mean, he is exceptional at describing the real fundamentals that drive not only gold, but especially gold miners and silver stocks as well. And he's also not a bad chartist either. Pretty good one. So that's why I love having Gary on, going to get his macro take. Gary, first things first, let's talk about the yield curve, because I know, in your opinion, and that of many others as well, this is a very important signal. If you get steepening, this is a recession signal. I'm just wondering, you know, obviously looking at the curve now, it's you know, not threatening to steepen, I guess, above zero anytime soon with respect to maybe the next couple of weeks, although I could be wrong. Is there any way that this curve could steepen and go above zero and it not be like a real recession signal?
Well, if it steepens under the deflationary pressure that has been in play for much of this year, or I should say the disinflationary pressure that I expect to eventually morph deflationary, that will precede an economic slowdown bust. It's really a boom bust indicator. The flattening of the yield curve has been concurrent with good times in the economy, especially Goldilocks, like what we've had for much of this year, starting at the beginning of the year, when we had the double bottom in the yield curve. I believe it's on a new steepener. This steepener, by definition of the decline in Treasury bond yields, is deflationary or disinflationary. Lately, it's pulling back, consolidating, but it's still on a new steepening leg. And I expect it before long to break upward and uninvert above zero. And I expect it to do that under deflationary pressure, which again is being interpreted as disinflationary. Goldilocks, happy days are here again, as you can see by the broad asset market sentiment profile, which is grossly over bullish and celebratory right now, because the Fed is signaled to be flipping dovish. And so all is good. It's just a disinflationary steepening. It's a relief from the terror of the rising yields that dogged the markets for the last couple of years. And I think it's preceding a recession. And as to whether it could continue steepening and not bring an economic bust or a recession, I think the only way it could do that is if it steepens under inflationary pressure. But I don't think that would be a picnic either. I mean, I think there'd be a lot of economic pain in certain areas, at least, if the steepener is inflationary. But either way, I think the economy and the markets would prefer a flattening yield curve, an inverted yield curve. It's the new steepening that is going to bring on pressure of one kind or another.
Right. And I guess quickly, is there any other indicator aside from the yield curve that you could look at with charts that might be like a great recession indicator along with the yield curve?
You know, we had in NFTRH, we had a few charts of the Fed funds futures this past weekend, showing them traditionally predating recessions. When the Fed fund starts to flatten or drop, recessions have fairly reliably followed. Aside from that, my main chart, other than the yield curve and the long-term 30-year Treasury yield continuum, which was our first real roadmap to the new macro that I think has happened with that impulsive rise in long-term yields getting out of control last year. The other chart that I really go to quite often shows the what I call the Fed funds proxy, three-month T-bill yield, and the two-year Treasury yield, and it shows a pronounced divergence, ongoing divergence through all or most of 2023, a negative divergence by the two-year yield to the T-bill, which is, again, a proxy for the Fed funds rate. So it shows the bond market already discounting coming economic weakness and inflation signals declining. And it shows the S&P 500 bulling along toward a double top, which I think is going to tick a new high to really get the patrons in there celebrating and happy. But it's doing the same thing it did as a precursor to the 2000 bear market and the 2008 bear market, that divergence of the two-year yield to the T-bill yield and the S&P 500 making double tops. In the two previous bear markets, it double topped to a minor degree. And I don't know if you've seen my chart flying around out there in the public, but it's a whopper of a double top that I think is forming. Now, I'm not just looking at a chart saying, oh, it's overbought and it needs to top out. I'm looking at all these indicators that are creeping toward countercyclical, recessionary, and you know, kind of marrying everything together here. And I also see the gross overbullish sentiment backdrop as I think 2022's refugees continue to come back into the market thinking the water is safe. And it is for right now. I mean, I'm enjoying it quite a bit, to tell you the truth, but that's with the expectation that it's all temporary. And I had thought temporary might be into January, but at this point I'm allowing some slush all the way through the first half of 2024. But the point is, it's not just a chart guy looking at a chart saying, that's overbought, it's too bullish, it's going to double top. It's someone marrying all these macro indicators with the current wildly overbullish sentiment situation and that overbought situation at a what will be a double top in the stock market, I do believe. And I think that will come after we get the new all-time highs, headlines, happy days are here again type stuff, just so that the less experienced people can really firm up their newfound bullishness. But the indicators are turning against that view. Now, I could be wrong. It could all flip to the happy way or stay happy in, 2024. But it just appears to be quite a contrary setup. I think that the bubble is over. The bubble being policy making reliably by the Federal Reserve since Greenspan 20 some odd years ago, 20 plus years ago. At every turn, they inflated the system with the target being positive asset markets like stocks and cyclical assets. I believe that what happened last year in the bond market has compromised what they'll be able to do going forward as far as what I call inflation on demand. At every trouble spot, they can simply just print, and all the problems seemingly go away, except for the forward inflation problems that this routinely creates, this printing of money. I think we have a really good contrary setup. The bond market was the main tool the Fed used, and the bond market broke. And I know yields are coming back down. It's nice. It's a relief. Should help gold as well. But this disinflation will eventually gather steam and become uncomfortably disinflationary. And yet, I don't think that will happen anywhere near the 1 or 2% yields that sprang the last inflation. You see, if the 30-year yield comes down to 3% even, and where is it at now? Let me just take a quick look. So it topped well over 5%. And if that thing drops to the 3% area, which is the line of demarcation that it broke to break the previous 20-some-odd year trend in yields, that's going to feel deflationary. And yet I wonder, with that level of yields and the bond market signaling, if the Fed is going to have the tools at the ready at 3% and holding the trend breakout. It's a new inflationary macro, I believe, in its signaling. Now, I'm really going on here and probably confusing everybody because I'm riffing and getting inside my own head. So I'm going to cease and let you ask another question, and hopefully I can be clearer.
No, that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I have two follow-ups, but one quick follow-up. To me, and I haven't, thought about this significantly, maybe I need to think about it a lot more, but I was even thinking about this like a year ago plus. It seems to me that, you're talking about, we could have this, because at least now things are still really good in the stock market. It seems to me like the S&P will top around the time the Fed does the first rate cut.
Right. Yep. That's typically when it happens. It tops either while the thing is flatlined or right after the first cut. So they're still playing the expectations game out there. They're not promising rate cuts anytime soon. It's looking like springtime. And so that's another rationale for possibly seeing this party kind of move forward well into 2024. But there's also no, if we learned anything over the last couple of years, extrapolating what happened in the past is not always reliable in the indicators. So it could throw a curve and top out sooner rather than later. In fact, I did in this week's market report, and I think you said you haven't read it yet, but I did an exercise going back to what I called the Christmas Eve massacre of 2018. I don't know if you recall that the stock market was tanking on Christmas Eve. I felt like I was the only one watching the market along with machines that were programmed to do whatever they do, programmed for max mayhem. And so that thing, it tanked into Christmas Eve and immediately V recovered after that. And there's a lot of opposite elements in play right now, which is the market blowing off to the upside. I'm not saying that it's going to do something opposite to 2018 on this Christmas Eve, but I am saying that there's the chance this could blow off sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, we're out there waiting for the Fed to actually make its first cut, and the market may not wait for that. So I don't want to be cavalier in talking about, sometime well out into 2024, we'll see a top. That's easy to say, but not as easy as if something starts happening sooner and the elements are coming into place here where, this over-bullishness could just build on itself and then roll over of its own bloat.
Yeah. And why... I know this is maybe this requires a long explanation. Because the average market professional, who's not really that open-minded, who's a permeable, they just think, they're looking at everything. We're going to have a soft landing. And if anything goes wrong, the Fed's going to cut. We might get some stimulus somewhere. So we're still going to have a soft landing and the market will just re-ramp again? I mean, I don't want to, you know, make you repeat everything you've already said, but is there any like way you could debunk that reasoning?
Well, my main thing is the 30-year Treasury yield, which was such an orderly continuum down, that downtrend in long-term bond yields. My theory from all along has been that that was funding the bubble, because it's, regardless of the inflation, we know that did get in the system and has persisted and ended up in the CPI and other cost measures. The market signaling was no inflation problem. So whether there was an inflation problem or not, the bond market said there was not. And I believe that policymakers used that to full advantage, to leverage off of that disinflationary signaling since, you know, going back to the 80s, actually. But in my experience, since 2000 and Greenspan, with his ever more innovative methods of, inflating the markets. That broke 2022. We broke the trend. It's why I had at every rise in the yield to the trend markers, which were the monthly EMAs, 100 and 120. Excuse me. At every one of those junctures, I was prepared to say, okay, bubble is continuing and you know, don't fight the Fed, and they're going to inflate. They have license to inflate. The bond market says so. And then finally in 2022, the market said, screw you, and it burst through. And that meant something to me. And I'm looking at it right now, and that thing is just a big handle. I know that it's come down from 51% to we're at a little over 40% now. And I'm in 4%, I'm sorry. And so 5% to 4%, that's a pretty good drop. And that is instigating Goldilocks-type relief from inflation fears. Remember, the public is still trying to get over its inflation phobia. And Fed fears are easing because the bond market is easing in its yields. But the trend is gone. It is so clearly gone. The new trend from 2020 is up. That long handle from under 1% to over 5%, and now we've eased back to 4%. And where are we going? 3%? If we go to 3%, we still haven't broken back into the old continuum that had allowed the Fed to tell us that there's no inflation problem. We're going to inflate and save the system. I don't think there's a savior at hand this time, at least in the signaling I'm seeing, because the bond market is saying, okay, that's enough with the shenanigans. You better find a new way to do this, because you're not going to leverage the bond market anymore, at least to the routinely successful degrees that they did for all those years.
Right. Yeah. And that's such an important, I mean, that may be the most important macro point of all in this new cycle, you know, that we could be in or entering into, is that, yeah, and you've said it multiple times that long-term interest rates are now rising significantly. I mean, if we're looking at the, you know, bird's eye view and the big picture trend.
The big picture trend, yes.
And that's why it's different this time around. Well, they can't cut rates lower and spend a bunch of money. It's it's not going to work like it did from, you know, exactly, 1990 to 2020, you could say. Okay, great, Gary. Now let's move on to gold. And I mean, for me, I've been saying the same thing since 2015. So I feel like I don't know if I'm tired of saying this, because I like hearing the sound of my own voice sometimes, but, I just facetiously, I had said for so long, gold's not going anywhere until the S&P cracks. And to me, gold's above 2000. I mean, you know, we had that breakout above 2000 or 2100, and then Mr. Slammy came in you know, gold's come back. It's still just, it's sitting there where it's so close to being in a new paradigm. And yet the stock market recently made a higher high. I mean, it looks bullish in the very short term. Gary, I just don't see gold really going anywhere, and gold stocks too, until the market cracks and we fall and the economy cracks as well. I mean, maybe it can go up a little bit, but there's no big move here coming until we get that crack in the market and stock market.
Well, I see gold stocks having a good chance of rallying with everything else right now. And part of the reason is gold has been doing well versus commodities, especially crude oil. So by definition, in fact, this quarter, Q4, will be reported in Q1 2024. And that whole thing, unlike the previous quarter when gold declined in terms of oil, it's looking like the majority of Q4, which will be reported next month and in February, will have seen gold rising in terms of oil. And so it's just one indicator of a sector fundamental benefit going on as the disinflation weakens commodities more than gold, you know? So it's sneaking along doing okay, whereas commodities have really been in tough shape. I mean, I'm expecting all of this stuff to do a seasonal bounce and party type thing. In fact, it's already started. So to one degree or another, I expect most things to bounce, which they have, and possibly continue to bounce unless we get some flash blowout in the whole broad market and reversal sooner rather than later. But you're right as well. Gold stocks will not be unique with the stock market puffing up its plumage like that for all to see. Who wants gold stocks or gold? What is gold? They don't even understand what it is. They you know, it's just an asset that doesn't get off its ass very often. It sits there while all the go-go stuff makes profits. It's all about coin, baby. And gold is not going to be about that. It's a retainer of long-term value. And as it relatively retains value in relation to the stock market when it blows out, then the miners will gain not only an operational fundamental, like what would happen with reduced costs having to do with oil and energy and materials and whatnot, then it will have the psychological benefit of mainstream advisors and managers looking at gold retaining relative value, and using 2008 as an example, it rocketed higher versus all that stuff in a deflationary episode. And, that's what I expect again. If we're looking at a mature bubble in inflationary policymaking ability, and we're looking at a stock market that is very bullish but in dangerous territory, summoning thoughts of silver in 2011, perhaps, then we're definitely on watch for the gold sector to surprise a lot of people. However, so if it continues as you're saying now, and you expect it not to do much of anything in the short term while the risk-on party continues, if the gold bugs get thrown out of the party and it's just regular stock bugs at the punch bowl, I give the sector a good chance of not being impaired badly when the cyclical stuff tops out. But I believe that gold stocks are going to continue rallying here. The seasonal turns up right about now and into and through January, well into February. If they follow that and they party along, I believe gold stocks will be a sell after a really good trade when the stock market finally comes down to reality and the realization that the economy is decelerating and a recession is due. It would be that next pullback or decline that could be the big buy for a post-bubble environment in gold stocks when I think over a longer term than people are expecting or have been kind of conditioned to expect, they will rise in a real bull market. That's the idealist view, and it's backed by, I check myself constantly to make sure I'm not dreaming here. It's backed by real potentials, but there are hazards in the way. And one hazard right now is if the sector goes up along with the party stuff, it will be vulnerable when the party gets cracked. Then will come the real bull market. However, I think we're on a good tradable rally now. And, you know, we'll watch the short term, the daily charts of GDX and HUI. And, you know, if I'm wrong about that, then we'll know when certain violations happen. But for right now, I'm expecting higher prices into January, possibly February at least. But they're not unique, but they're in transition toward that. But the macro has to turn. And as you termed it, the stock market needs to crack. If that doesn't happen, you know, all bets are off, really, as far as fundamentals go.
Yeah, and so let's finish with the stock market, because you mentioned, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're talking about a potential double top there, or at least you get a new high, which is a false new high. And I don't know if you said this during the interview or if this was before the interview where you were talking about maybe 6 months as a time frame. I'm just looking at the S&P, it's already really close to a double top. Like it would seem that, like, if it takes the market, if the market's going to go up and it, let's say it peaks in 2 or 3 months, it would seem to me that's going to be way above the old high. You know, maybe it gets to, I don't know, 5,350. Does that really change anything for you, or is it just semantics with respect to, you know, whether the S&P tops at a double top or it's a false new high or it's 10% higher than that? I mean, is that just semantics?
I think so. It's going to stop where it stops. And when bullish spirits come into the picture, I mean, this thing could keep going. The main point is, I believe it's on its last chance power drive here. And it could be quite a suck in. I'm looking at the weekly chart now as it approaches 4,800. And, you know, if you want to be a technical analyst and measure the pattern, this thing could go well higher. There's a chart I've been just goofing around with on X of Microsoft and its cup and handle. And asking, how could this get to the target of, I believe it was 475, because that's what it's measuring. And it's at 372 right now. Well, it could get there if it and other headline type stocks lead a big rally. And it could drag the S&P 500 beyond a double top. I'm just saying double top now because it's so logical. It's what I've been looking for a year now. Well, actually, no. I was originally looking for a more abbreviated rally, but for much of 2023, I've had to, and I think including the last time we talked, we discussed a test of the highs. And so I think the main point isn't to try to predict price. It's to predict or to anticipate that with this sentiment profile and long-term sentiment, per the last check, I use Sentiment Trader and their dumb money and risk indicators. It's just untenable. It's extremely bullish, and it will stay bullish as long as it does. But, you know, a risk-reward trader is not going to buy this with a heartfelt orientation. But the technicals are saying, you know, we could get well higher than a double top. And yet, as I said, I have another, as a gut feel, I wonder about the 2018 Christmas Eve massacre, little mini crash. And I wonder if something opposite that, a spike up and blow out to the upside may be happening at the double top area that we're looking at. So you know, people shouldn't try to predict or worse, let their bias or hopes interfere. But on a risk reward basis, the stock market is playing itself out. And on a risk reward basis, gold and the gold miners that would leverage a post-bubble situation are very positive. And so, you know, I'm not going whole hog. Cash is paying interest. I'm long, you know, several bull stocks because I know it's a party atmosphere and I want to play and participate a little bit. But I'm ready for the real deal in a macro change too. And again, I don't get ebullient and fluffy like this very often, as you probably know. So I could be wrong, but I'm not going to be acting as if I'm feeling dour about things when I actually feel positive. I just don't have a very fine-tuned timing situation, other than I think we're in a rally now and the seasonal could be a very nice trade. And then after that, after everything blows out, including the gold stocks on this rally, I'm planning for that next decline to be the end of the bubble making and bull markets that have been the regime since 2000. And I'm planning for the potential of a much longer gold stock bull market. You know, I know it's crazy talk, but that's what I'm seeing.
Gary, as we close, could you tell our listeners about your website, how they can subscribe to your service, and also how they can follow you on Twitter if they'd like to do so?
Sure. Well, Twitter, X, is at, what is it? Okay. And capital letters, I'm not sure the caps matter or not, but capital NFTRH and then small letters GT. And the website is nftrh.com. Notes from the rabbit hole. The service includes an extensive weekly market report covering not just precious metals, but the whole shoot and match, stocks, U.S. and global commodities, currencies, indicators. It's kind of a real nerd fest every week, so you have to bear with me sometimes, but my job is to get the markets right, and that's what's needed, in my opinion. And also in week, we have a lot of what I call NFTRH plus updates. Most recently, we looked at some compelling cases for a couple commodities where a couple different commodities flash positive seasonal technical support and contrary positive sentiment. So when I see stuff like that, I put them in updates at the website as well. So if anybody's interested, you can go pick around. I'd like you to get comfortable with it and pop me an email through the contact link if I can answer any questions.
It's great. Everyone should subscribe. And Gary, thanks so much for your time today coming on. Really appreciate it. And if this year plays out how we think it might, it'd be great to have you back over the coming months when things are making a major shift.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.